Good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone here. We're starting a year, new year off. Man, it's been the last tough couple of weeks. We had people out sick, and of course the wind's picked up and power out at people's homes. And Hans, I agree with you. We just take a lot of stuff for granted that we have in our lives, especially things of convenience. And you know we like our conveniences, that's for sure. This lesson will begin in Joshua chapter 3. In verses 1 through 4. And I'll have most of the scriptures up here, but you're more than welcome to turn to the book of Joshua. And let's begin. In Joshua 3, 1 and following, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Jidim and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, with the Levitical priests carrying it, then you shall set out before your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you and a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before.'" So after the days of the loss of Moses, the people of God were finally now prepared to cross the Jordan River. And they were to keep the Ark of the Covenant in view, as mentioned in Joshua. When the children of Israel were delivered from Egyptian bondage, they came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they spent some time there. But they also had a temporary house of worship. They had the tabernacle, or the tent. It consisted of two rooms. First, the holy place where the priests ministered daily, and then they had the most holy place, a place in which the high priest went annually for the Day of Atonement. And within the inner compartment was a small chest, and that chest, as you know, was called the Ark of the Covenant, in which several items were inside. And the first item that we'll talk about here as we're going through this lesson is a pot of manna. Now, that in Exodus 16:4 was known as the bread from heaven. It was food that God provided his people that fell from the sky. This represented God's providence for his people, that he would provide for them, that he would take care of them. And so it finds itself in one of the items in the Ark of the Covenant. And then you also have Aaron's rod that budded. When some of the Israelites resented the authority in which Aaron and Moses had, they became rebellious. So God asked each of the 12 tribes to place a rod in the most holy place. God will show by a miracle who his representative was going to be. That morning, Aaron's rod budded. The others had not. And so that finds itself in the Ark of the Covenant. It reminded the people that there are divinely appointed levels of authority that must be recognized and respected by his people. And of course, his miraculous power was shown there as well. And then lastly, you had the tables of stone, right? The commandments, they had the commandments on them, right? Obviously, this was a reminder of God's laws for them to help his people, to guide his people, and to instruct them and to lift them to a higher level of religious responsibility. And following the Ark of the Covenant and passing through the Jordan River, they were to know that God was going to lead them, that God was going to take care of them, because they were going to go to a place they had not passed for, had passed before, as we read in Joshua. And so I take a lesson like this, and to begin this new year, in a sense, we have not passed this way before. The year 2022 is at hand. You know, at times we find ourselves in place of uncertainty. At times we find our places and having doubts. You know, in the book of James, it talks about uncertainty as well as many other places in the Bible. But you're familiar with James chapter 4 and 13, where he says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow." You don't know what tomorrow brings. And he goes on to say it's a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And so with that then, we go into an area of uncertainty. Now, this is interesting. I found these. I hope these look okay on the screen here behind me. In the 15th century, mariners charted crudely the outlying shores of Europe and Africa. And each map would show a spot in the Atlantic beyond which no ship had gone before, or they would even say a sane sailor would even go. And on those maps, it would say, some would say just here be dragons, but some would say here be dragons, here be demons, here be death. Now, we've come a long way since our world concept, since the 15th century. But still, there's a certain apprehension about venturing into the unknown. This quote says here, "Tomorrow is a blank page to be filled in the passing of time and events. Tomorrow means hope and opportunity." And so again, I'm just having us think about, you know, it's interesting, we go back the last couple years, it's been kind of crazy. It really has been in this world and within the church. And so where do we go forward here? I want us to appreciate something. If you want to turn here, I'll have it up on the screen. It's a little bit of a read, but I want to go to Psalms chapter 90 in verse 4 and following. And this is Moses, a man of God who prays before God. I'm going to read this out and then kind of paraphrase the thoughts being shared here. So in Psalms 90 and verse 4, Moses says, "For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch into the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep in the morning. They are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers away. We have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sin in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, there contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us," listen to this, "so teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." And Moses prays this to God. And so in essence, he's saying that we glide against the tides of time swiftly, like a racing river. That we're like grass that in the morning is green, but then it's mowed down by the evening as it withers. Our sins are spread before you, God, our secret sins. You see them all. No wonder our years are filled with a sigh and longing because of that. 70 years are given us. Maybe we get 80. But even the best of these years often have emptiness. Even the best of these years often have pain. And he goes on to say, "Who can recognize or realize the terrors of your anger? Which of us can fear you as we should, God? As the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom." But he says to teach us to number our days, to recognize how few they are. How should we spend these days that are fleeting so fast? To number our days. To number our days means to contemplate the fleeting character and the brevity of our lifetime, that we may spend them wisely, not wasting them, and that we have a heart of God, a heart that wants to inspire to have the wisdom. You know, as a Proverbs in 2:10 says, "When wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul." And so he says all of these things, and so we contemplate then our time here. And there's a scripture, I meant to have this other one up here, but in Ephesians 5:15, you know this scripture. And it makes the point here when we're to number our days, to pay attention to what we have left. How many days do we have left? What are we doing with the days we have left before we face God in judgment? And how will we feel about that time before God and look at what we've done? And we certainly can't go back to the year 2021 or the year 2020 or whatever going backwards is. But here we have this, where God has to understand something. He says, "Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time," or like King James says, "redeeming your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord for me? You know, Michael, I always think about that wonderful lesson you had on prayer about I'm praying for these things, but I don't know what is the will of the Lord for me? Right? The scripture has much to say. If we stay in scriptures, it'll bear itself out what you ought to be doing, what you shouldn't be doing. And there finds the will of God for you in your life. And so with that then, I want us to consider something that we need to have goals in our lives. Right? Suppose that you had a foot race and you didn't know if it was a sprint or if you didn't know if it was a marathon. Right? You wouldn't know. Should I go super fast? Should I go slow? You know, in the letter to the church in Philippi, Paul writes this here. He says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, he says, "Now, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I mean, if you think about Paul in his life, he just kept working and pressing on towards something so great, a reward that was so great, a reward in heaven, right? The goals that he accomplished each day was working towards something. Without goals, listen to this here, without goals, a man comes to the end of his life only to discover it can be summarized by this: 20 years of sleeping, 5 years of dressing and saving, 3 years of waiting, 6 years of watching TV, 1 year on the phone, and 4 months tying his shoes. Now, I would say with all the cell phones now, it's probably 4 years on your phone. So think about this. Think about a goals, achieving them in the year 2022. So I ask all of us this, and I was contemplating even this lesson. I'm not so much on making New Year's resolution. I think a day that you need to fix them, you should fix it then. But I find myself pushing things off and saying, okay, I got to get better with the Lord here in 2022. And so what things can I work on? And so I give you this here, some just a few things. And there's other things here, but just to kind of to get our minds stimulated on things. So the first thing I would ask, do you want to be a better Bible student? How many hours will you spend in study? Are you going to make all the Bible classes that we offer here? And what kind of notes are you going to take? Are you going to maybe buy some new commentaries? Or what's your plan here for the year 2022? And I think that's a fair thing when we look at the Word of God and the time that we spend into it. How about this? Do I want to be a better spouse? Is something that I need to work on? What qualities does Tom need to work on with his wife? And so in the year 2022, if you are married, do you want to be a better spouse? If you have children, do you want to be a better parent? How much time will you spend with your children? And what priorities are you going to show them by how you conduct your life and the things that you can do and help them with? Do you want to be a better brother or sister? Spending time with them, studying with them, being a positive role model, being an example. The Bible says so much of us being a lighthouse, individually, collectively as a church, certainly in the community, but individually. And so, again, a better brother or sister, what can we do here? But ultimately, do you want to be a better Christian? For the world to see, by conduct, by your attitude, by your example. How about by your love? How about by incorporating a daily spiritual life and considering in the year 2022, as this church goes forward, is an evangelism, what we can do here in this community, what we can do to share the gospel, to help those lost souls. But all of these daily goals will help in achieving the ultimate reward in heaven. When I was preparing for this lesson, sometimes I'll just kind of look at different things before I give a lesson. And I came across a scripture that basically said, if you don't set your schedule for yourself, somebody else will. And I thought that makes sense to me. If I don't set my schedule for this week, someone else is going to set it for me. So what's my schedule look like for this week? I can tell you for me, my schedule is, I'm going to be here tonight at 5 o'clock. And tomorrow I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray and start working on some things. I'll be here Wednesday night, Lord willing. I understand, right? James talks about that when we're not sure what tomorrow brings, the vapor. You know, we have to ought to say if the Lord will, certainly. But what's your plans for this week? What are your goals for God? Is there any goals you have for God this week? And some of the things that you do, you might have to examine and make adjustments to make sure they're effective and in line with God. You know, the line is don't mistake activity for achievement. You know, sometimes we have to understand what we're doing. And is it within the God's will? Is it maximizing our time and the things that we're doing, right? Redeeming the time. You know, John 5:1 says, I am true, the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. What fruit are we going to produce here in 2022? And so when you look at these things, we don't know what tomorrow brings, but there's others that journeyed in uncharted territory. And so when you look at some of the different people, just a few I'll mention here, and I think because we talked about faith here this morning in our study that Bill's doing in the book of Romans, but in Hebrews 11:7, it talks about by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Right, things that he had not seen, he was not sure of, but trusted in God. And you have Abraham, right? Hebrews 11:8-9. By faith, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place where he was received for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land. And I think if you think of the key word here, when he was called, what did he do? He obeyed. We're all called to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's through obedience. Right? We've been talking much about pride. And I think about that because pride to me is any resistance we have toward God. Here are things that God asking me to obey and to do. And when I don't do this, I'm resisting God. Why would I resist my Creator? Why would I resist the one that brings me the peace and joy I should have in my life? By faith, Moses in Hebrews 11:24, when he had grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Goes on to say, considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to that reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. And so we see the trust and faith that these people had in God. And sometimes we don't always know the outcome of the things that we do. In other words, if I structure more spiritual things in my life, what is that going to produce? I don't know. But it's going to produce something, amen? Because when you do things for God, they work themselves out. You know, Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And so it's through our faith, it's through our confidence that we come to God. And why? Because we know that he's going to reward us if we seek him, if we do his will. Let's not kid ourselves. If we're not doing the will of God in our lives, there is no reward for us. It is simple. Sometimes we just kid ourselves. And yet God gives us a path and boundaries in which we find our lives to live in, and good things will happen. I know Wyatt's off, you know, to a career in the military, and it's uncertain for you what you're going to expect and what's going to happen. His parents are sure going to be you know, probably a little nervous for him, you know, their son leaving and such, and your sister and all that kind of stuff. But it's having this faith and trust in God that you're always choosing him over the things of the world. And that's for all of us to do as we venture into the unknown here in 2022. So the Israelites were to have faith in God as they began their new life, a land which they had not passed before, right? They passed through many going in circles in the wilderness for a long time. But here is the land that God had promised them. And now they were going to venture into it. A lot of uncertainty. And so again, we need to have faith in God as we begin this new year that we have not passed for before, that we have that same trust, that same faith that God would have us have. So we need to follow behind the Ark of the Covenant, in a sense, knowing that he's going to provide bread from heaven. So we know that if we put God first, that we can trust that he'll provide for us. His providence will help us, right? John 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And also, too, that he has provided us with divinely appointed levels of authority in which to give us structure, to give us leadership. And lastly, he's given us his word to guide us and to instruct us and to lift us up to a higher level of religious responsibility. So again, go back to what was in the Ark of the Covenant with the manna, Aaron's rod, and the commandments, right? Those same things are with us today, spiritually speaking, as we move in and trust in God and follow behind him. You know, when this all happened and Moses had died, Moses didn't get to get in the promised land. So young Joshua was gonna take him in. So these are the words that God gave to Joshua. So this is the words that we should consider ourselves. It's God speaking to us. And so let's all put ourselves in Joshua's spot. God's talking to us. And he's saying, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful and do according to all that is written in it. For when you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. And so I think about that. I think about him and what he was doing in leading. We all need to be leaders. We all need to be leaders within our families and the community. And we need to trust in God and be courageous and have the word on our lips every day. Because that's going to give us the peace that surpasses so much under the peace that passes all this under or so much understanding. I apologize. Get my words mixed up a little bit. But you understand what I'm saying here, the peace that people can't comprehend through difficulties and struggles, that we have the peace because we know our time is short. We've numbered our days. We're not here long. Heaven is not here on earth. Heaven is heaven where God is and where Jesus sits on the right hand. And so I hope all this for you, that we'll all prosper. And I will give you this last scripture here, which I think is appropriate as we enter into this year. In 3 John 2, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. So please consider where you are today, where you've been, and now where you're headed for tomorrow. We're in a new year. And I think it's good for all of us to consider and taking a moment just to look back on what we've been doing and where we're at before God and to start making the changes we need to so that one day we all can be in heaven together. If you're here and you're not a Christian, it's a big decision to make. It's the biggest decision you'll ever make. But why not make it now and begin this year having God lead you and helping you? Trust in him. His way is the best way. And if you're here struggling or need any help in any which way, if we can help, we'd love to be able to help you. If you're subject to the invitation, please stand and come forward as we sing the song that's been selected.